When I was a kid, there was a TV show on called Dragnet. You're probably not old enough to remember it. You can Google it when you get home. And it was a police show with two men cops. And it was in Los Angeles. And of course, they would go out and hunt criminals and put people in jail. And the two lead characters, the main guy was named Joe Friday. And they were both real stoic. They were both real serious. And, you know, they weren't laughing or cutting up. And when they would go to a crime scene and they would interview witnesses, they would say this. Joe Friday would always, and he became famous for this. He would always say, "Ma'am, just the facts." And he would say that every time he went to a crime scene. And it became famous on that TV show. Well, that's exactly what we're going to do this morning. I'm going to show you just the facts. Listen, if there's no resurrection, there's no Christianity. Okay? The heart, the crux of Christianity is the resurrection. Listen, if there's no resurrection and Jesus is dead, we're dead. Because there's no resurrection, there's no heaven, there's no eternity. So we're going to go right to the heart of the matter this morning, and I'm going to show you some proof in Scripture. I'm going to show you the facts about the resurrection. I read recently that there are over 4,000 different world religions. Can you imagine 4,000 different religions? But out of all of those 4,000, there are four that are the largest, and they are Christianity, Islam, Hinduism, and Buddhism. They're the four largest. The two largest are Islam and Christianity. And every one of these religions have one thing in common. Everyone, imagine if we took time to make a list of all 4,000 religions, the smallest one to the largest one, all of them except one have one common theme, and this is what it is. Their founder is dead. Listen, Muhammad is dead. Buddha is dead. Confucius is dead. You may have heard of Gandhi. He's dead. Now, in Buddhism, their leader is named Dalai Lama, and he's alive right now. He's in his 70s, and he is the 14th Dalai Lama. And what they believe is from the very beginning, their God reincarnated himself into the next person. So this Dalai Lama is the 14th reincarnation of their God. And he's in his 70s. I think he might even be in his early 80s. But the day will come that he will die, and then they'll pick a new one. A lot of times they pick a young man or even a child can be picked to be the next Dalai Lama. Then this person grows up and they're the leader of Buddhism. But no matter who they pick, they die. Now, let me tell you something about reincarnation while we're on the subject. The Bible says it's appointed unto man one time to die. Everybody in this room is going to die once. Not twice, not three times. You're not coming back as a tsetse fly, right? You're not coming back as a cricket, okay? No, you're going to die one time. And then the Bible says after that is the judgment. Jesus died one time, and he died for the sins of all. But more importantly, he raised from the dead. That's what sets Christianity apart from all other religions. Let me read to you this morning in John 20, and I'm going to read starting in verse 11. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. As she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they've laid him." Now, when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was him. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Who are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, please tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, Rabboni, which is teacher. Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I've not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father, to your Father, to my God, and to your God. Two warrior angels stepped out of another dimension. One moment they weren't there, the next moment they were. Two warrior angels. And there were 16 Roman soldiers guarding that tomb, and they all fell over under the power of God. They didn't faint. They fell over under the power of God. And one of these angels took a hold of a round stone that weighed between 2,000 and 3,000 pounds. And he picked it up and he moved it. And then they both stood on each side of that opening, and Jesus stooped down and walked out as they stood at attention. And I, in my mind's eye, imagine them looking at him and him making eye contact with them. And they said, sir. Now, Jesus did not have to have that stone moved. The reason they moved it was because he's a king, because he's royalty. Listen, kings don't open their own doors. Kings don't drive their own cars. Kings don't cook their own food. They move that stone out of respect for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Mary gets there. This has just happened. And the two angels are inside the tomb, and they're sitting there on where Jesus lay. It was hewn out in stone. And they're both sitting in there. She's looking for Jesus, but she's looking for the dead Jesus. You see, she was at the cross. She saw him whipped with 39 lashes from a cat of nine tails. She saw it rip his back. She saw the blood flow. She saw the crown on his head. She saw the nails in his hands and in his feet and him hanging on the cross. She saw how brutalized his body was. The Bible says that when he was taken off the cross, he didn't even look like a man because he was taking on the sin of the world. She saw exactly what he looked like. And she knew one thing. He's dead. Now, see, there's rumors of people who don't believe in the resurrection, and they say, well, he didn't really die. He fainted. And he fainted, and when they took him off the cross, they put him in that cool tomb. And it was cool. It was in the side of a hill, and it was cool. And when they closed that door, that stone was rolled there. Well, then he woke up out of that, and then he got up, and he moved the stone. No, she knew this. He was dead. She was looking for a corpse, a bloody, beaten, disformed corpse. She wasn't looking for a live Jesus. What'd she say? Hey, if you'll tell me where you've taken him, I'll get his body and I'll take it with me. And then she saw a man standing there, and she thought he was the gardener. Now, he wasn't the gardener. He was the gravekeeper. You know, he was the guy that mowed the grass and took care of the stones and took care of the tombs. That's what his job was. She thought that's who it was. And she said, hey, if you've moved his body for some reason, just tell me where it is. She didn't recognize him because he's alive. She thought he was dead. That's why she didn't recognize him. And then he said her name. He said, Mary. And she said, teacher. She knew, oh my gosh, could it be you? And she ran and threw her arms around him, and he tells her, hey, don't touch me. You can't touch me because I'm getting ready to go to heaven, and I'm going to offer my blood on the mercy seat of God to pay for your sins and for the sins of the world. So I got to go do that first. I can't stay here. But would you go to town and tell everybody I've raised from the dead? Jesus died. I want to make that very clear this morning. He died physically. His body died. He was dead. They had a funeral. He was buried for 3 days. And they were on doing other things. Let me read to you out of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. For I delivered to you First of all, that which I received, Christ died. Let me read it again. Christ died for our sins. Why did he die? He died for our sins according to the scripture. And then he was what? He was buried. But then he rose again the third day according to the scripture. Now remember, I'm just giving you the facts, okay? I'm not telling you what I think. I'm just giving you the facts. And then he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 people at once, of whom the greater part remained to the present, but some have fallen asleep. At the time Paul wrote this, there were still eyewitnesses alive. Now, some of them had died, okay? Some of them that saw Jesus resurrected had died, but there were still people. You could go down to the Alsips and run into somebody and say, hey, aren't you one of those guys that saw Jesus alive? Yeah, I'm one of them. You could run into Mary and say, hey, Mary, did you see Jesus alive? Yes, I did. Okay, these are eyewitness accounts. It's not hearsay. Just like Joe Friday would say, just give me the facts. Let me keep reading. But some have died or fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James and by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also as one born out of due time. Now, Paul is writing this. And see, Jesus died, rose from the dead, and ascended to heaven before Paul knew him. Okay, but then he has this trip that he's on called the Road to Damascus, and he encounters the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has a vision, and he sees Jesus. And he says right here, I saw him with my own eyes, even though I was born too late. Let me read to you out of 1 Corinthians 15. Now, if Christ is preached that he's been raised from the dead, hey, that's what we're doing right here. You know what I'm preaching? Christ has been raised from the dead. That's what I'm preaching. If Christ has been raised from the dead, then how do some of you say there's no resurrection of the dead? Some people said that, oh, there's no resurrection. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then Pastor Rusty's preaching is empty. Amen? And your faith is empty. We might as well just go ahead and go home and eat some chicken and hunt some Easter eggs, amen? Have a good time, because we're all dying and going to hell. If he's not raised, oh, what was that? Yeah. He's like, no, we're not, Pastor. Yeah, if Jesus were not raised from the dead. I like that, man. Listen to what it says. It says, yes, and we are found false witnesses of God. You know what that is? That's a nice way of saying that you're a liar. You see, if I'm up here this morning telling you Jesus raised from the dead and he didn't, then I'm nothing more than a liar, because we've testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then also those who've fallen asleep in Christ have perished. Listen, I bet everybody in this room, myself included, have loved ones who've died. And they were in Christ. My father passed, my mother's passed, my brother, my sister-in-law, they've all passed. But they were in Christ. And so they're in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. But he's saying right here that if Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, then they have perished. If there's no resurrection, there's no Christianity. There's no heaven. There's no paradise. None of that exists. But the good news is he is risen. If indeed this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable or the most miserable. Now listen, but now Christ is risen from the dead, and he has become the first fruits of those who've fallen asleep or died. You know, in Power Kids on Wednesday night, we'll have the girls all come up, kindergarten through fifth grade. We'll invite them to the front, and they'll line up across the front. And then I have all my faithful, wonderful leaders come up, and they'll go in front of the kids, and I pray on the microphone, and they make sure and touch every single child, and we pray over them. And one of the things that we pray over them every week that I always have on my heart is that they're hungry for God. See, I pray the same thing over you, that you're hungry for God. You know, all the things you're hungry for are not going to fulfill you. They're not going to satisfy you. They're not going to make your life worth living. But if you get hungry for God, it changes everything. So we pray it over the girls, and then we pray it over the boys. We line all those boys up, and some of them need double prayer, man. I mean, there's some boys, amen, Jessica, they need that. I almost said they need the devil cast out of them, but I'm not going to say that. But they just need prayer, and they need a good whipping, amen? Now, we don't give whippings at Power Kids, so don't worry, all right. It says Jesus is the first fruits. You know what that means? That means that Jesus is the head of the line. Imagine a long line, and he's the very first person to be physically resurrected. And then there's this long line behind him of every man, every woman, every teenager, every child that has said yes to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're in line waiting for their resurrection. You see, why does the resurrection matter? Because if Jesus is raised from the dead, you're going to be raised from the dead. And you're going to have a glorified, resurrected body, and you and I are going to be with God for all of eternity. Let me read you two more short verses. Romans 6:10 says, "For the death he died to sin once and for all." Listen, Jesus paid for your sin one time. Listen, you don't have to pay your sin if you go to Jesus. You see, if you go to Jesus, he stamps on your bill, paid in full. But if you don't go to Jesus, you owe a debt you can't pay. So you'll either stand before him as Savior, oh, thank you, Jesus, or you'll stand before him as judge. But you will stand before him. The Bible says every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. You either bow voluntarily or you bow, you're forced to bow. But Jesus paid for your sin. That's the good news. He paid for it, what? Once and for all. Listen, but the life he lives, he lives to God. Jesus died, Jesus rose from the dead, and Jesus is alive. Can I remind you, Muhammad's not alive, but Jesus is. Confucius, I think, was a wise guy, I think. I've heard that. But he's dead. But Jesus is not. He's alive. Let me read you one more verse, John 8:51. "Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he'll never see death." Everybody say never. Yeah, you and I are never going to see death because of what Jesus did. You know, have you ever tried to look up loved ones that have died? I've looked up headstones, you know, grave sites of people that died. I've looked up great-grandparents, and I'm curious about, you know, those people's lives and you know, where they're buried. And then I want to know, why are they buried there? How come they lived here and they're buried here? And I've been curious about it. And as I've studied it, I came across something amazing. Amazing. I looked at the word cemetery, and everybody knows what a cemetery is. And the original word for cemetery is comatorium. And here's what it means. It means barracks. Now, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, a barracks is a military term. Okay, if you join the Army or the Navy, they send you to a base to train you. And if you're a man, they buzz your head and they give you a uniform and they put you in a barracks and you live with a group of other young men and you sleep when they tell you to sleep. You get up when they tell you to get up. You eat when they tell you to eat. And they train you to be a soldier and you live in the barracks. Vicky's dad was in the Air Force and he'll be 94 his birthday. So it's been a while since he's been in the Air Force. But when he went to the Air Force, he lived in a barracks. Soldiers live in barracks, but they live there temporarily. Nobody stays in a barracks. Now, Vicky's dad was a 20-year career man in the Air Force, and he was in the military for 20 years, but he only stayed in the barracks a short time, and then after his training was over, he went on to do other things, and he never lived in the barracks again. Now, hold on to your hat here. Hold on to your hat right here. A cemetery is temporary housing. Amen? Nobody's staying in the cemetery. Listen, if you know Jesus as your Savior, you're going to be resurrected on resurrection morning. You're going to get a glorified body, and you're going to go to heaven and be with the Lord forever. The cemetery is temporary. My dad's been in the cemetery in Amarillo for 50 years. And for my life, that's been a long time. I was 18 when he died, and now I'm 68. It's been 50 years. I can't wait to see him. I can't wait. When I get to heaven, the first person I'm going to hug is Jesus. The second person I'm going to hug is my daddy. Amen? Amen? I can't wait to see him. But compared to eternity, he's only there temporarily. Listen, it doesn't matter if they're cremated. It doesn't matter if they die on top of Mount Everest. It doesn't matter if they died in the ocean. It doesn't matter where people die. They're there temporarily. Listen, you're going to be there if Jesus tarries temporarily. Because he was resurrected and you've identified with him, then you get to be resurrected. Would you close your eyes and let me pray? Father God, thank you this morning for this Easter Sunday. I thank you for your hand and for your grace on our lives. Father, thank you for the resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Kirk?
Hey, before we move on, we just want to take a minute here, if you would, and just close your eyes with me one more time. And, you know, anytime we're confronted with the cross, we have a decision to make of our response to the cross and our response to the gospel. We don't want to leave this place this morning without giving you an opportunity to respond. And if you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus as Savior, Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And verse 11 says that one believes in his heart and is justified, and when you confess with your mouth, you're saved. And here in just a minute, we're going to pray a quick prayer. Everybody here is going to pray it together, and I'm going to help lead you through this prayer, and I can guide you through this prayer, but I can't help you believe. You have to believe on your own that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on a cross and he rose from the dead. And if that's you this morning and you think, man, I've never done that. I've never confessed. I've never spoken out of my mouth that I believe. And you want to do that this morning, I just want you to raise your hand. With every head bowed, eyes closed, if that's you, just raise your hand. I'm going to give about 10 more seconds. I see those hands, about just 10 more seconds. If anybody else, the reason we raise our hand is just an act of faith. It's a step that we take that, Jesus, I need you. Amen. Amen. Y'all can put your hands down. Hey, if y'all would, just repeat this prayer after me. Heavenly Father, I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I believe in my heart that Jesus died on the cross. I believe that Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus, I know that you are the Son of God. I need you. Come into my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we give those a hand clap for raising their hands and for stepping out in faith? Amen.